All right, so we need to talk about it, and I think that the it that you are probably thinking of is not the same it.
No, I know it never is.
It never is.
I'm trained.
So I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you exactly one chance to talk about to bring up what you think I believe it to be. And then we'll see if we're synced up.
No, I know.
So I'm going to let you.
I know we're not talking about Final Fantasy VII.
No.
So there's a whole host of things that I could have done in the last week to exhaust your life.
Mm-hmm.
So lay it on me.
Well, it's not anything about that. Funnily enough, it is not anything that you have done. It is a subject of something that I'm very excited about.
Excellent.
So, do you want to try to guess, or do you just want me to tell you?
Oh, God, tell me.
May 17th, 2024. They're back on their bullshit. They're back on their weird shit. 21 Pilots' new album, Clancy, is coming out on May 17th. And they released the single Overcompensate last week as we're recording this. And can I tell you, I just got to report, alert.
What?
Alert, banger alert, it fucking rules.
I like the song. I need to give it a few more listens to see if I actually like can fuck with it. There's just something that doesn't fit for me, but I don't know what it is. So there will
incredibly wrong, and I just want you to know that.
I'm all right with that. I mean, it's not like I've ever had a bad opinion about music in the past.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, you're normally the bastion of good opinion and taste. But yeah, no, they've been doing this thing that they've been doing. it's like, yeah, sorry. Wow. Wow. That was a moment.
It normally doesn't catch me, but no, that was good.
Yeah. We call that a classic Adam moment. So Tyler Joseph has this thing that he's been doing with the album since since Vessel, but definitely since Blurry Face, where there's like this like underlying story behind like what's going on. And it really fucking hit the ceiling when Trench came out. And there's like this whole thing about like this city called Trench, and there's just like these like priests that oppress the people, and he tries to escape the city, but they keep on bringing him back and all this other stuff. And then they released Scaled and Icy in 2021, and that didn't necessarily have like the through lines, but the whole overarching story of that one, I'm pretty sure, was that like they had caught him again and they were punishing him and making him perform for the citizens to like make them think that everything's okay. And so Scaled and Icy is what that is, right? Yeah. And then they're now releasing Clancy, which is like
Tom.
Tom Clancy's Clancy. Which like now he's got like the power that these priests have, and he's going back to the city to liberate the city, and that's what this album is supposedly about.
All right.
And so that's coming out on May 17th. I'm very stoked about it. I like when they're on their bullshit. This is very, very good.
It's a good time for you.
Yeah,
I will say it's probably a good time for all of us, though. I mean,
yeah, it is. So what happened was on February 15th, the album artwork on like the streaming platforms for all of their previous albums through Vessel. So it'd be Vessel, Stale Nancy, Vessel, Blurry Face, and Trench. Not in that order of release, but all four of them were updated to have this like red tape on the album artwork. And everybody was like, what the fuck was going on? And then I guess like people on the mailing lists were receiving letters that had like cryptic shit going on. And then they have an updated logo that they've been like posting all over the place. And then on February 22nd, they released this like video, like a primer of the story so far, and teased the beginning of Overcompensate. And then I think it was February 29th.
Yes.
The leap day, which is the same day Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out. Just to connect that together.
Hey.
Which I have been playing and is excellent, by the way. And that's all I'll say. They released Overcompensate, and that's the first track on the album. There's 13 tracks on the album. They've released all the names of them. They just haven't released any of the other songs yet. So we are months away, about 2.5 months away from a new 21 Pilots album. And I just thought everybody should be aware of that because 21 Pilots is good.
Yeah, 21 Pilots is good. Yeah, I think, you know, Tear in My Heart is probably one of my favorite songs, period.
Tear in My Heart is very good. That's a great, Blurryface is a great album.
Sure.
Blurryface, I became like fans of 21 Pilots when Blurryface came out. I remember liking House of Gold when Vessel was out, but I didn't really follow them that much. And then Blurryface came out and everybody was like really fucking excited about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. And then I listened to it and I was like, holy shit. And then I listened to Vessel and I was like, holy shit. And so that's when I became like a big fan of 21 Pilots. So
digging it.
Good stuff. Fuck, that's all I got. And it's taken up a lot of time. Dune, you fine. Want to give a brief impression of Dune 2?
Oh my god.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I haven't seen it yet. Just take like a minute to explain the vibe and then we'll
massive.
Massive.
Like I think that's really all that I can say. Massive, long, but it literally is one of those movies where there's always something going on. You know, like Batman was 3 hours and at times felt long, even though in that, I guess there's like a sense of there's always something going on. But Dune, as beautiful as it is, even on like track shots or like landscape shots, you don't ever feel like you don't want that landscape shot. Right. Like I don't need 14 shots of rainy Gotham City. I want like 90 minutes of just a National Geographic fucking film for Arrakis. Like, it is insane. I cannot recall the name where like the Harkonnens are hanging out, but that whole infrared world is fucking batshit to see like visually.
Yeah.
And like, there's one part, like there's, I'll just say like fireworks, and then when you go and see it, you'll be like, holy shit, this is the coolest version of fireworks I've ever seen. Because it's also not fireworks. So like, I'll say that it's something else. I don't know what it is, but it is visually stellar to look at, especially in like that black and white shit. Fucking Chalamet is insane. Like, I will say that as well. I think,
why did you stumble on his first name?
I just stopped saying it, actually, is what happened.
Okay. Chalamet.
Yeah. Insane. I think there's not a single person, and obviously, like I posted on Twitter the other night, like it converted me over into an Austin Butler fan. Not sure what it ever was, but there was maybe just something about his face that didn't work. So when you make that face sick and deranged in a way that is unhumanly, it's solid.
Yeah,
just real good, real loud. And I guess like I always forget that Wichita's IMAX is like the great value version of IMAX. You know, like it could wear the IMAX brand name, but nobody ever wants to go to it because it's not true IMAX. They haven't updated their projector probably since they actually made that theater like a decade ago. Like I think the first thing to play in that IMAX was Tron Legacy, so that's how fucking old it is.
Oh wow, Jesus.
Yeah, and it's seen nothing since. But yeah, I think if you were to see this at what would probably be a true IMAX experience, it'd look a lot better, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking, it was definitely worth the price of admission for the four of us. Nobody fell asleep, which is abnormal for this family. Wow. In a theater. But yeah, dude, I say go see it. Fucking everybody should go see it. And if you think that Paul Atreides is a good guy, probably not, but check it out.
And here's the important question.
Yes.
Did you get,
I did not get the fuck
sand,
it bucket.
The sandworm of the sea. You really got to let me do my jokes before you interrupt me. So I'm going to start over again.
Yes, please.
Or you're going to be quiet until I can say the word that is funny. Did you get the sandwormussy bucket?
I did not get popcorn. No, Sandwordussy. Nope.
What is it? Shoihaludussy? Shoihalussy? Yeah, that's it.
I think if you fucking watch Dune, all you're gonna want is some fucking Muad'Dib bussy.
Whoa. That's what I really want. Anyway. Hello, friends. Thank you for listening to Adam and Sam at the Disco. You're here. We're here. Everything is going to be okay. Probably.
Maybe.
Have you done your taxes yet?
Ugh.
It is a season, and you have like a month left, so a month and a half. Just saying, if you haven't done your taxes, you should probably do your taxes, because they know they're watching you.
They'll find you.
And if you don't do it, you'll get arrested. You'll die. Probably.
Unless you're rich.
And I'll tell you, there is one place they won't forget to close the goddamn door, and that's prison. I'm Sam.
I am Adam.
Bro, sometimes I just go off into a fucking fugue state with those things. I don't know what was happening.
No. And I think that's okay, because really, how do you intro this podcast where we say the name of a podcast and turns into something else entirely about 15 minutes into it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, man, I'm tired, and it's a Monday, which is not usually when we record.
No.
And I will immediately admit that, I did spend most of my waking hours this past weekend playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And a lot of those waking hours were hours that should have been spent asleep. And so that's kind of where my head's at.
Yep.
Right now.
Yep.
So I'm just kind of like, and I've been playing it today because of course I have.
Sure.
I mean, it is what it is. It's very good. And so I'm just kind of like in a state of like, I don't know. Am I living? Am I dying? I don't know.
Are you Cloud? Are you Zach?
Who can say?
How you feel about Queen's Blood?
Queen's Blood rules.
I'm indifferent, but I think I'll change it once I actually get better at it. You know, because like,
well,
I did the tutorial for that while it was like 11:50 at night, and I'm trying to keep my eyes open. So the next morning I woke up, and you know, like in Calm, you play three games of it back to back if you choose to do that, which I'm psychotic and I did. So by game three, it was like, all right, I think I'm really getting this. So I'll probably come around on it.
I took one L against one of those guys, and then as soon as I took that L, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
And I just was just like off to the races. It's a very good card game. I don't know if I like it more than Triple Triad yet, but I definitely like it.
Sure.
But
fucking game looks incredible too.
Like, it does. It's
we won't zoodoo zoodoo on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth too long, but fuck does it look incredible.
Yeah.
Except for in quality mode where it looks like a hot pan of garbage. Don't know why you put your garbage in a pan, but that's what it looked like.
Okay.
Cloud's name when you play in quality mode is actually Blurry Face, so there's a good throwback to the opening.
Sweet.
Nailed it.
I kind of like phased out of existence there for a second. today we are talking about another song featuring Brendan Urie, and that is Love in the Middle of a Firefight by Dylan Francis. And this one is unique because Dylan Francis is a DJ and a producer. He does not sing with his voice. And therefore, a lot of his songs, most of his songs, feature vocals from people. And so this is one of those songs. So It comes off of his debut album, Money Sucks, Friends Rule. And that came out on October 27th, 2014. And there's a lot of people on this album. So it's got 12 tracks. Twist is on there. DJ Snake's on there. Martin Garrix is, he does a collab with Martin Garrix. Got Brendan Urie on this song. Major Lazer's on there. There's a lot of names that you've heard of. Probably. Mm-hmm. So this is it's an album. It's an electronic album. This is not my style of music, generally speaking.
No, not really.
And so this is another one that I have the legit until we start getting ready to talk about it. I have not heard. So that's what it is. And it's unique in that, like, the other songs that we've done or will do this season that Brendan features on, he's mostly just the chorus. This one, he sings the whole song.
All of it.
Doesn't sing. All the song, all the verses, all the pre-choruses, all the chorus, the bridge, it's all Brendan. So this is like, I've been having this feeling. Yep. Right, listening to the song a few times today, last couple of days. What era of Panic of Brendan would you place this song? Because obviously this is in between Too Weird and Bachelor.
Well, can I use the cop-out answer and just say that's a perfect spot for it to be? Like,
so...
Because I don't know. Like, it feels like... I don't know. Like, it feels like a merriment of both versions of Brendan, right? Like, it's that same kind of fuck. No, I guess it's just Death of a Bachelor.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. So we don't have any like Spotify comments or anything.
No, we don't have shit.
We don't got shit. So we're going to skip over that for now. Unless there's like something on Twitter that I missed, but I don't think
I don't believe so.
So we'll just skip to the part where we say, hey, Adam, what are you guys on?
How do you feel about this song? I have, you know, kind of like the displeasure that I had last week. I have the reverse feeling of that with absolute pleasure this time of actually knowing this song since it came out.
Sure.
And I, as much as I am not an electronic guy, you're not going to hear me name any fucking DJs ever. I think even if you asked me to name a DJ, I probably would still forget Dylan Francis's name, like no offense to him. But
DJ Khaled.
That's true. I feel like that would be cheating. But, you know, all's fair in love and war, I guess. I like this song a lot, and I think even since it came out, you know, like it didn't feel like Too Weird Brendan, and then we kind of did this fucking podcast where it's like I feel like there's parts of that Brendan in here, but to me now, like it's Death of a Bachelor Brendan heating up. This is like the warm up to that, and that makes no fucking sense, but like. I think like that range that he kind of uses here and in the next song that we'll talk about, like it's just a strange era. Mm-hmm. But this Brendan Urie feature feels, and it's because he does the whole song, like it feels the most Brendan Urie ass song and singing that we get through any of these.
Right. Here's what I'll say. I like the song. I do.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I would put it like in between Bachelor and Wicked.
I could see that. I really could.
Like, I don't know that I hear like any Vices or Too Weird Brendan.
No. I think
it's like really like that like, especially I think because of Dylan, like the music that Dylan Francis is like instruments that he's putting into it, the DJing and stuff. Yeah. It definitely feels like that very processed pop Brendan.
Sure.
As opposed to like the experimental. Like,
yeah, the Cincy. Back then. Synthy, not Cincy.
Yeah. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like Viva Brendan, because I think
we're not there yet.
I hear that. But I definitely think it's like Bachelor Brendan approaching Pray for the Wicked Brendan.
Sure. I feel like it's, you know, Bachelor, Jesus, fuck me. Bachelor leading up to Emperor's New Clothes. Like it's that level of kind of like exploration without going over the top, because of course, like, he gets shouty in this, like it turns into a rock song a little bit, but it doesn't turn into what we get after. I think like this is more of a crazy equals genius kind of voice and like level of rockiness mixed in with like a little bit of the Death of a Bachelor song itself. Like, there's not a lot of crooning, as we'll get to next time, but I think like the warbling that he kind of explores here kind of sells it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And by the way, you brought it up. I'm just going to spoiler alert. I fucking love Crazy Equals Genius. Holy shit. So
that'll be
a little tease for next season.
That'll be an interesting one to get into on the genius annotations of how much they can tell us about the Beach Boys and fucking.
Oh, yeah.
For so, real. You know.
You ever heard of Mike Love before? You ever heard of the Wilsons?
You know what Helter Skelter is? Ooh. Have you? You know who Charles Manson is? Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah. Basically, watch that movie and then you let us know. But yeah, that's the song. Here's what I'm going to say too. So the album Money Sucks, Friends Rule is this like picture of Dylan Francis, and it's like tricolor, yellow, green, purple.
Yeah.
And like it's like a sliding puzzle almost. So it's like it's a picture of him face like head on, and then like the middle of his face is like yelling and or screaming and sliding away from his face, right? So the single cover for Love in the Middle of the Firefight kind of follows that same vibe, except on the left it's pink, on the right it's yellow, and it's half Brendan's face and half Dylan's face. And they just ever so like they just don't match up properly. And so you're just looking at this like really scary looking like amalgamation of the two of them together. Because Brendan's eye is like really dark, deep brown and a little bit bigger.
Yep.
And then Dylan's eye is like this like grayish blue color and it's like smaller. And so they're like really fucking with the perspective. And then as we know, Brendan has the DSLs.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Dylan Francis. Whereas Dylan's not.
Is a little bit thinner lips on Dylan Francis, and so their lips don't match up. And then Brendan, you can't see his teeth, but like you can kind of see Dylan. It's just like it is.
It's funky.
It's funky. It's monstrous. It pains me. I hate looking at it. So that's what we got there. So that's the single cover. That's kind of it basically.
Yeah. You know, I guess for what it is, if there were ever a single art, oof, that's a sentence you can say. If there were ever art for a single between a solo DJ and a featuring artist, where the featuring artist does all of the singing and the DJ does everything underneath, this is that. Like, this is a motif that I feel like everybody should use when it's just one guy, like one person doing one thing and another person doing another one. This is a real Jekyll and Hyde yin yang kind of thing. like you said, it's very fucking terrifying to look at, but you get the point looking right at it. Like, it's not some weird fucking artistic, like Victoria. Oh, what the hell was the single that we did? That was just like the tiger, like the picture of the tiger. What the fuck was that bonus track? It won't come to me, but I'll find it maybe.
Are you talking about Are you talking about Come On?
Yeah,
there's a tiger like faded in the background.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Also, in the YouTube video, the YouTube release, the official YouTube, like, which is where I'm looking at right now, which is where I'm seeing this monstrous demon face. In the description, Dylan Francis says, "This song was a dream come true to make with Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco. It's definitely one of my favorite songs on the album, and I'm so happy I finally get to share it with the world. I hope this shows you how diverse all of my album is going to be." So I think this was the first single.
Must have been. Did you, I don't know if you said, Twista is on this album and the first song? Yeah, like, Twista. What the fuck?
Yeah. Twista's on there.
Yeah. Wow.
It's an interesting. What a real. Interesting.
Yeah. It's a thing. Overnight celebrity.
Oh, This was the sixth single out of seven released for this album. So never mind. I love how he's just like, I hope this song shows you how diverse all of my album is going to be. Meanwhile, he has released
everything else,
half of the album. Yeah. Literally, this is when he released this song as a single. This was half of the album.
Love it. Love it.
Wow. October 16th, he released this song as a single, and then the album came out on October 27th. So if he's like, my album's going to be real diverse, I hope this gives you an idea. And it's just like, we've listened to 50% of your album already, Dylan. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I guess we'll have to come back to this, but the Wikipedia page says in 2017, Dylan Francis announced that he was working on Panic of the Disco's upcoming album and that he would be producer of their sixth album.
Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting. Which would have been Pray for the Wicked, right?
Yes. Yes. Sixth? Yes.
Yeah, yep. There he is. Producer Dylan Francis. Wow. Let's see. I'm trying to see. Where is he at? I'm not saying his name on any of these. We'll talk about when we
get there. Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. Quick chart. You've got the U.S. Hot Dance Electronic Songs from Billboard, and this was at the peaked at the 45th position.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Okay. The might as well do this the whole album, Money Sucks, Friends Rule. The Australian albums, the ARIA charts, that came peaked at 33. The ARIA dance charts, it peaked at number 4. The UK album, OCC, it peaked at 188. UK dance albums, OCC, peaked at number 7. The Billboard 200, it peaked at 40. And the US top dance electronic albums for Billboard, it peaked at number 2.
Oh, hey, nice.
Yeah, no Spice, I hate today, but that's just
no RIAA for you either.
No RIAA. Fuck the RIAA. I still got to say
it. You still got to say it? It's in your contract.
And then we've got featuring, in the credits, we've got featuring Brendan Urie, written by Dylan Francis and Brendan Urie, produced by Ammo and Dylan Francis and Billboard?
Yeah, just the entirety of Billboard worked on this song. Everybody.
No, there's a... Really, though, there is a producer whose name is Billboard.
That's
which is
interesting.
There's a whole music.
Yeah. Odd. Your tags are rock and electronic. I feel like that's pretty apt here.
Pretty apt. Yeah, we've done it.
We've done the things.
We're here. We've done the damn things. So here's what I want to ask you, Adam. Did you just take like a drink?
I did at the same time.
Here's what I ask you, and then all I heard was
no. I tried to get you with a but you know,
that's not what it sounded like. Well, I'll ask you, are you ready to talk about the intro, verse one, and the pre-chorus?
Yeah, I think the intro is going to be the hardest part of this whole song to talk about, so you should really cover it.
Complicated.
Ignore waging silence on our lives. We will overcome, let the cowards run and hide. We were born to take it back. This is revelation. No, I am not afraid. Love is coming out to play. They'll chain our hands and close the door. There's nothing worse than wanting more. Outside, they run and hide in the morning sun. Baby, we were born to run.
I love the way this song starts.
Yeah, of course you do.
Right?
I'm sure your nipples were so hard.
Well, because it's not even like the na na na's, because I do love a na na na.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like that, the like that, the very beginning, and then it like the drums into the na-na-na.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I really like that.
Yeah.
It's a very fun song.
Yeah, it's bouncy. I like how bouncy it is. But yeah, we got the na-na-na's, we got some whoas in there, and I like these whoas.
Yes, these are the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Really great. I love the instrumentation in here. I love the DJing. I love the vibe. Like I said, electronic is not like, I don't seek electronic music out, but I am always like, not surprised, but like I always enjoy it.
Yeah.
When I get
it. I think like, you know, a good electronic song is still a good song. But yeah, I also will never be the one that goes to Spotify and is like, I just want to listen to electronica. Electronica.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to listen to just that shit. No, I don't mean shit derogatory. Like, I just don't want to listen to that genre. It's weird. Like, I'll listen to lo-fi, right? And that's probably, you know, it's obviously like a subgenre of electronic, I'm sure. But yeah, just this.
I do seek out lo-fi. I do listen to a lot of lo-fi when I'm like writing.
Yeah. Like, but I'm not going to seek out what I feel like will put laser beams in my ears.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to fucking rage all the time, but.
But you've got this like really like high energy, like pump up. And again, this song, the music that Dylan Francis is making here, it really serves Brendan, I think, and the way that Brendan has done things. Because like, you know, one of the things I love the most that Brendan does is that like high energy, like melt your face off, and then it like lowers and it like cuts all the stuff and it like gets quiet, and then he just like sings softly before it builds you back up again.
Right.
This does that.
Oh, hell yeah, it does.
And it's great because you've got this, na 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 na, and it's like really loud and bouncy, and then it goes boom into the verse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real.
And it's just like,
it's whiplashy, but not distracting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just like stays that way because it's just like, you've got like the ding, doom, like the keys in the background. And it's like through the verse and the pre-chorus, and it's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then as the end of the pre-chorus happens, you can hear like in the background, and then it drives into the chorus. So we'll talk about the chorus separately, but that's just kind of like what the music is doing. And I really, really like the way that it kind of very much serves, like, it, despite the fact that it's an electronic song that is technically by someone else, it very much feels like you said, a Brendan Urie-esque song.
Yeah.
Like, this is a panic song.
I think like this is one of those songs that up until this point, I don't think Panic at the Disco would have a lot of, or Brendan Urie would have a lot of, but this is one of those songs that you just play in your fucking car and you crank that shit. And there's no part of it also that like doesn't feel good doing that, from like the wah, 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 wah to everything that he's like, this is just a, put that shit at max volume.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have a lot.
a lot. But yeah, because I love when he plays with his voice. I love when he sings softly. I love when it's like a contrast of like styles and feeling. And this really does a lot of stuff that I really enjoy.
Right. You can definitely tell that like Dylan Francis must have just given Brendan Urie free reign with his voice. He's like, just fucking do what you want to do. You know.
Well, especially because he said it's a dream come true to work with Brendan. I don't know. A lot of times you'll see like an artist doing a collab saying like, it was a dream come true to work with Brendan. It was a dream come true to work with blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, yeah, of course it was, because you have to say nice things about the person you're working with. But like the fact that the music matches up with what I kind of at this point in time expect out of Brendan.
Yeah.
Makes me think that he is a fan. He does actually know what like Panic is about, and was just like, okay, I've made this template for you. I've made this like soundscape for you to play with it. And I think I can trust that like it was a dream come true thing.
Yeah. This song definitely says, fuck off, keep on keeping on.
So when he says na 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 na,
really hits me emotionally.
What do you think he meant by that?
I think he was trying to audition for the Minions.
My nana.
And, you know, when he said, whoa, I really took that personally. So.
Yep.
Be-da.
No. But so we've got the first verse, which I, okay, here's what I will say about this song. As far as I can tell, it's not very deep.
Oh, no.
In its meaning, which is fine. I don't care. It bops, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like deriving a lot of like emotional epiphany out of this song. I'm just here to enjoy the vibes.
I don't know. Like I do kind of, and it's only just because the like relationship that Carrie and I had been in at that point. Like, I hope none of her family listens to this song or this album. I am going to stop saying words. You have the rest of the episode. like, you know, history and everything that we had dealt with together had happened, and her family really didn't like me, kind of in a sense that like there was no hiding it. You know, like it wasn't family events were uncomfortable, but it was like everybody else kind of running to her and be like, maybe you shouldn't have this relationship, so on and so forth. So that's kind of what this felt like, you know, for us. And I think this is one of those songs, and I was thinking about it while I was listening to it earlier, like driving, like this is one of those songs that had me excited for this podcast to like get a chance to kind of talk about, because it's such a good fucking song as opposed to what we talked about last week. So I think, like, you know, there's a war we can't ignore, waging silence on our lives being the first line, and we will overcome, let the cowards run and hide. Like, that's just kind of what it felt like for us. Like, we know that we'd go and do family events and we'd just kind of be semi mentally exhausted, because it's like, I would especially, because it's like, I know these people don't fucking like me, you know, like I know that in one way or another, they feel like Carrie's doing something wrong. And then we turn around to get like married a year later. So who was right? I guess like let history be the, you know, the speaker on that one. And
I guess what I'll say really, really, really quick, I'll let you continue. But I guess what I'll say when I say it's not like very deep, I don't know that there's like a lot of like wordplay or
It's not hiding anything
up to interpret. It's like it's one of those like songs where the meaning is just like there.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I can see how if you're in a situation like that, it would resonate with you more. I don't think I've experienced that like deal, and so it just kind of I don't know, I guess it doesn't impact me as much.
Sure. Like, I think Carrie and I have almost debated on like getting various lyrics from this song, like we have with several other Panic of the Disco songs, like as a couple's tattoo. Just random shit, because that's really all the song is, but you know, but I think I see what you're saying for sure. Like, yeah, it's face deep, as if that's a thing that people say. But
sure.
I guess in your face would have been too aggressive, but I don't know if face deep's any better with what that could probably insinuate. Anyway.
It's the first time I've ever heard the term face deep, but we're getting there.
I'm sure face deep probably means something on adult podcasts. So who knows?
I wonder if, I mean,
somebody can go listen to those and not report back.
Let me go to the good old Urban Dictionary.
Oh, hell yeah.
And see if face deep is on there.
Kids love it when we pull out Urban Dictionary.
Face deep, becoming fully engaged in activity while full of enthusiasm.
Fuck it.
MW is out tonight. Modern Warfare is out tonight, and I'm off all week. Can't wait to get face deep in Modern Warfare.
There we go. Cool.
Oh, God. I just ordered my C+ book. Can't wait to get face deep in C+, and the best one. Obviously, the one we're here for. I had a date with Alice last night. It went so well that at the end of the night, I got face deep in her.
Oh, yeah. Yep, right, there it is. All right.
There we go. There it is. Yep. There it is. There it is.
Thanks.
So it's a thing, I guess, to some people.
How do you feel about the vocals here? 'Cause
I like them.
Like, I think he's doing a lot, and it doesn't ever feel like, it never feels disingenuous.
Yeah, disingenuous. You really got it. Maybe you should hang up and I'll just finish the podcast. Because you are struggling.
I am a walking thesaurus held upside down.
Mm-hmm. Disingenuous, you mean?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That thing.
No, I think I like him. I think, I don't know. He's just singing really nice. I don't think there's like, he's singing in a way that I think I would have preferred out of him a lot more as the albums came on. Yeah.
Well, and he's to like reach back to the Too Weird thing. Like he's even singing in a way that you didn't really get in that, I guess. Like not a whole lot, not quite to this level. I think like he had on a base level, like I think of course he would have had fun with Too Weird, but this feels like he's just going. He's just fucking giving it his all. He's face deep in it is what he is.
That's what he is. I will say the way that he says Bach, we were born to take it back.
Yeah.
Like the way that he says Bach.
Oh, you mean that this is Revelation? Oh.
Yeah. He's doing some weird stuff there, I will say. But like the way that it sounds to me is like it sounds like he's singing like when he normally does like the quiet parts of like his older songs. It sounds like he's singing that way.
Yeah.
But like his mouth is like wider. Like he's singing louder, even though he's singing quiet.
Sure.
Like he's doing the theatrical pop Brendan, but like he's keeping it quiet.
Yeah.
And it makes like a very, very interesting like dichotomy with like his voice in that moment.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting.
You ready for the misheard lyric?
Yeah.
This is revelational. I really thought was just revelation. Oh, like the number zero. I don't know how I could ever justify that to myself, but you know, that's what I'd.
I would have gone with you if you would have told me it was like an O, like O-H. No, you said zero.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No. Worse. Much worse.
Worse.
Revelation. Oh.
You know. No, I like his voice a lot here.
Yeah.
I do. It's just like. It's like what I think he's like, it seems like he's doing this thing where he's like fighting against his like two things that he wants to do. He's like, they're like fighting each other, but not in a bad way, not in a way that like is like discordant to me, but in like an interesting like musical way.
Yeah.
Like I said, like he wants to sing that loud bombastic Brendan, but like he's kind of pulling it back. And so you get both at once.
Yeah.
I think that's very strange, but very cool.
It's like he showed up to work that day and wasn't going to give any more than he was getting paid for.
No, I don't even think that's it, because I don't know. I don't even think that's the vibe of it. I think he's like doing something there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like I don't know.
Like you said, he's not fucking off the reservation here. So there's that. So I dig it. Is there anything else exciting that we have to say about verse one?
Well, do you have anything more to say? Because it's like, it's literally, it's about, like you said, it's about like these two, like this couple, like there's a war we can't ignore waging silence in our lives, where it's these like people, cowards.
Yeah.
Running and hiding from their like love, where it's just like we have to see this all the time. We can't walk away from it, but this is our love. Our love is coming out to play. We're not going to let them hold us back.
Yeah. No, I think the only thing that I have left to say, like that all had a good happy ending. Again, Carrie and I got married, but like her sister gave a nice speech at the wedding, acknowledging it, right? Like any good adult would do, you know, like I understand that people were assholes or people thought this, thought that, but obviously here we are today and we were all kind of wrong or whatever. So, you know, I guess a little happy ending from that, but
yeah,
of course her sister and I still get to continue to have the, fuck you, fuck me, I hate you, you hate me relationship just for funsies. And it doesn't feel, does not feel as probably less gray area than it did before. So nobody's seeing red
I guess. Cool. But
pre-chorus.
Pre-chorus.
They'll chain our hands and close the door.
Love
the, which door? The goddamn door.
Goddamn door. Really,
finally did it.
Really love.
All it took was Dylan Francis.
Really love the high pitchedness of here, like of this, of the mm-hmm. they'll chain our hands and close the door. Like so, mm-hmm. so interesting. I guess because you know, again, it's like mm-hmm. it's got that subdued, but like not. mm-hmm. I'm killing it.
Yeah, like the way it here. I really like this, but again, it's more of like he's saying words fucking weird.
Yes.
And the falsetto makes it even more apparent. They'll chain our hands. Like it's very strange. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I like it, but it's just, I can't put to words like how, like what is happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's just going places with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's, like we said, this is carte blanche for these two to just kind of get out there and do shit.
Yeah.
And they do the shit.
Yep. They do the shit.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, this is just kind of like a knock on to the verse where it's just like they'll chain our hands and close it. Like they want us to lock it away. They want us to not talk about it. Us wanting to be out and in love and together. There's nothing worse than that. But they run and hide from us when we come out.
Right.
Come out and like are loud about it.
Yeah. Very. It's like a Western almost is the only way that like a.
Yeah.
So like an electronic Western in this song, you know, they run and hide and the morning sun, baby, we were born to run. Very, very cowboy-esque, very, I don't know, like modern day cowboy, I guess, like Easy Rider kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, shall we move on to the chorus?
Yeah. I will get out of this bridge here by saying that little drum, like there at the end, the one that just kind of like fucking sends it off was mm-hmm. a fun game of bad timing in our car a lot of who could or could not slap or clap or hit any other part of the car on the beat. And I can tell you, it's maybe a 10% of succession.
I love that. I love what he's happening here. What he is happening. I'm now looking at me.
Dude, yeah. It's infectious.
I love what's happening here. Cause you've got like, he sings the, this ain't over, we own the night, love in the middle of a firefight. And then he gets the falsetto on the second, we own the night, which is great. Like the little like change in like what's happening.
Yes.
That's what I miss from a lot of these. Cause it's incredibly obvious with fucking Keep On Keeping On. It's very apparent in Molly that we're going to talk about next week as well, where he's just the feature on there, where he just kind of sings the chorus and that's or the bridge and that's it. Whereas here, because like he's singing the song, he's doing the stuff that we are expecting out of him. And so we've got that, this scene of we own the night. And he's like making his voice fluctuate and doing the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
And it makes it interesting.
It does. Like I think this is that perfect hip hop chorus that we've talked about in the past where it's just there to be repetitious and catchy, and but god damn it, does it work?
Yeah, it works so well.
And I think Brendan Urie throws enough behind it to like make it feel different.
Yeah
But very short, you know, very short chorus.
Yeah,
for what it is.
Not a lot to do here. I mean, it's like this, like they can't, this ain't over, we own the night, like we're just here, you know, even though we've got all of these love in the middle of a firefight, even though we've got all these people against us and we're in the middle of this like battle to like hide our love or like
right.
let our love go, like it is not over. This is our shit and we're going to do what we want with it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's a boppy. Na-na-na's. What? Like,
it's got all beautiful. Of it. Yeah. All of the things.
Yeah. It's got all the things that I really, really love in one, like the chorus. This chorus is like, there's, it's like everything that I want. I'm a slut for in this one thing.
Yeah. Perfectly packaged.
Perfectly packaged. And it carries us into the bridge and the second prayer chorus. So let's do that.
The world stops turning, I'll be searching for dreams we've never known. If the words of saviors fight unwavered, there's no place we won't go. There's a world outside that's undiscovered. They're not gonna dream as big as us. We come outside, they run and hide in the morning sun. Baby, we were born to run.
Again, we go slow again.
Yes.
The world stops turning. I'll be searching for dreams we've never known. The world, words of saviors fight unwavered. There's no place we won't go. That's the bridge.
Yep.
And again, just like that low, like that, like he's doing the kind of like the thing that he did in the verse in the first pre-chorus where he's like singing big but small. And it's just like, it's just really nice.
Yeah.
And then you get to the pre-chorus and again, he's doing the falsetto again. And then like that is the drum, like the beats in the background, like quietly like building and building to the chorus again. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like the chorus for me. Like this is a perfect package of just Brendan Uriness. Like I think it's the way that he drags out words like unwavered and never known that really, I don't know, just kind of really, really gets me going, really hits me.
Yeah, in the spot. It's just like, really, really pumps and blows. Huh?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Pumps and blows, baby. Face deep in those.
Oh, no. But yeah, no, it's good. Like the vibe is good.
Yeah.
The vibe is good.
It is. I think the I'll be searching for dreams we've never known and the words of saviors fight unwavered, there's no place we won't go is really just like a good kind of send off, I guess. It doesn't like you feel victory, I guess, in this and the fact that like we survived this part, so now we're just gonna go and fucking live.
Yeah. And again, that kind of ties into the pre-chorus too, where it's just like there's this huge world for us. Like nobody's gonna dream bigger than us. And then it goes back to that. We come outside, they run and hide in the morning sun. Baby, we were born to run. Where it's just like now that we've achieved this victory where we've reached our dreams, we can be together. There's, you know, now there's no end to our dreams. We can do whatever we want. Nobody's gonna stop us. And it's a really great like tie up for all of it.
Yeah, this is the true run off into the sunset together.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I'm just a love big it. Fan of this song.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Because again, after the pre-chorus two, you got like that where the music cuts out and then the drums come in to lead you to the chorus. You get the chorus again, and then the song's over.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a nice little, what is it, 3-minute, 19-second song?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a bop. Certified.
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 Let's see.
Hey, Adam.
Hang on real quick.
Okay.
One moment.
All right.
Sorry. There is only a slight enough difference in the second pre-chorus. But it's just really a continuation of the bridge of there's big shit out there. We're going to go tackle it. So what do you got? What did I disrupt while my brain couldn't process things? correctly.
9 years ago. Am I the only Panic fan here that actually likes this song?
Oof. Oof.
I'm a Panic fan. I really like this song too.
You should. Okay. I was going to say, if that comment wasn't there, you should add it all these years later.
I'm a huge Panic fan and I love this song. Hell no. I'm a huge Panic at the Disco fan. I love Brendan Urie's voice. Smiley face, smiley face. TBH, it's not Panic at the Disco style, but it's decent. Brendan is killing it once again. Awesome as always. Which, that is fair.
Yeah.
Because at this time, we hadn't gotten
right
Bachelor yet.
And all I can say is...
That's
yeah. Oh, you sweet summer child, if you only knew.
Sweet summer child. I find it, and then this one, I find it funny that so many people say this sounds so different from Panic's other music. Clearly, you haven't listened to Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. This song sounds like it would fit perfectly on that album. I don't know about that. I think it's because it's like synthy and stuff like that, but I think the vocals don't fit like at all.
Right. Yeah, I can fuck with that for sure. Bonus track. That's about all this could get.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh no. They have the same sized forehead.
Oh no. Oh.
The one thing that matches up in this fucking monstrosity of a picture is that their fucking brow line and their hairline that's the same distance between Oh no.
Yeah, well, that's where it works, I guess.
We got Boyd forehead and we've got
Dylan Francis five head.
No, we've got Boyd forehead and heart forehead.
Yeah, that's a little hearty.
Heart forehead and Boyd
forehead. Well, all right. I almost wonder, and it normally doesn't work this way, but Dylan Francis has got to be a short guy. But I also, with that statement, don't know how it attributes to his face because his ear is like a little higher than Brendan Urie's. I almost wonder if that's what it is. I don't know.
Dylan Francis is 5'11".
Oh, God. How tall is Brendan Urie?
And Brendan Urie is 5'9".
Okay. Oh, oof. All right. Never mind.
I don't think 5'9 is technically, I think like 5'8 and below is short king. And then 5'9", you're like not a tall king, but you're less like an average lad.
I don't know. You're talking to a tall guy, so.
Yeah. I don't know what like the cutoff is.
Where the threshold.
Like I feel like I'm 5'11", and so I feel like I don't know would I be a tall king or would I be like a middle of the road lad? I don't know what the cutoff is.
Middle of the road lad, great. Great term.
Okay, hold on. What is the minimum height requirement for being a tall king? How tall does a man have to be in order to be considered attractively tall in the U.S.?
According to Quora. Attractively tall.
Yeah. According to Quora. Okay, let's see. So 5'8 and below is short king. 5'8 is below average according to the average height for males.
Sure.
Right. 5'9 is average, so Brendan would be an average king. 5'10 to 5'11 is above average. 6 feet is considered 6 feet to 6'3 is considered tall. 6'4 to 6'7 is very tall. 6'8 to 6'11 is extremely tall, and 7 foot or above is giant. So you are a tall. I would assume then you are a tall king if you are 5'10 or above.
All right,
being above average. Yep.
That's what they call me, Tall King.
Tall King. Martin Luther Tall King.
Yeah, J.R.R. J.J. God.
Adam, you gotta stop, my guy. Holy shit. You gotta stop trying to be clever and doing wordplay and just all the other stuff that you do.
We're moving to a visual format where I can just do other things. I don't know what those other things would be, so...
Bad.
But,
anything
sure.
That you would do to distract yourself in a visual format, yes. Is bad.
You know, just
for me, for the potential viewership, everything. Ugh.
Thank God we have listeners and not viewers.
Woof. Well, that's
yeah,
it.
Very much so.
I guess. Good song. Great song.
Good song. Good
bop.
Yeah.
Love a bop. Oh my God. One more comment. Damn. Can't wait to hear this song in H&M's, Forever 21's, and Hollister stores. Woof.
Love it.
It feels disrespectful. Next week, we're going to be talking about Molly by Lil Dicky.
Yep.
And then following that,
woof,
it's season 5. Maybe we're talking about the overview for Death of a Bachelor. It's coming hot and heavy. You won't want to miss it. But we got one more stop before we hit that trail.
Oh, yeah.
And that is woof. Molly, woof. Not Lil Dicky. So, that all being said,
yeah, let's we're good.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.